trade update for Tyre Power, keeping you safe on the roads in difficult times. And CMC Markets, award-winning platforms with over 30 years trading experience.
Every hour during the trade period, we'll bring you a trade update. And before we go back to your calls, I know Duke in Birdsville, you're on the line wanting to talk Adam Treloar. We'll come back to your calls shortly, 1300 736 736. But John Haynes, Gold Coast General Manager of Football, has been good enough to have a chat to us. Welcome to you, John. Great to have you on with the free agency period starting. And your domino, the first one to fall, you've got Rory Atkins.
Yeah, afternoon, Dwayne. Thanks for having me. Yeah, we're wrapped at... Rory's come on board. We think he can really complement our outside run. He's played 100 games of AFL footy as well, so he brings some experience. But with him and Brandon on the wings and Jeremy Sharp coming through as a young developing wingman, we feel like that he's going to really complement our outside run, which is an area of need for us.
How long before we hear about these guys wanting to come to clubs do you start talking to their managers? Because I mean, Rory Atkins obviously departed the Adelaide Crows before the end of the home and away season. We see some deals get done fairly quickly. Are you always planning with managers a long, long time ahead as to who might be available?
Yeah, there's certainly conversations happening all the time, Dwayne, with managers. And some of those are informal, some of those are, you know, more formal, depending on the situation with the individual player. But, you know, certainly in Rory's case, as you alluded to, it departed the Crows, if you like, reasonably early in the season at the back end there. And as we alluded to, we want to be really targeted with our acquisitions and felt Rory could complement what we had in mind. So those conversations increased once we had the right opportunity and moved pretty quickly. Rory was really keen to get here, and we were keen to have him.
Will you get Oleg Markov as well?
Yeah, we think so. Yeah, I mean, Oleg's is another. So he's indicated his interest and intent to join us. We're really keen to have him here as well. Richmond are a good footy club to deal with on these sort of things. And we've got, you know, our history with Richmond in the last couple of years with different acquisitions both ways. So, we're confident we can work through that over the trade period and get that done. And we're really excited about it. We think Oleg can really help us, and we think we can provide some good opportunities for him as well.
So what pick might you be able to get Oleg for?
Yeah, I'm not sure yet, Dwayne. We'll just see how that plays out. Obviously, he's been on the fringes of the Richmond team for a period of time now. He's an emergency for the grand final. We're unsure as to exactly what that looks like at the moment, but we think we can get that done.
So you got no picks between, what, 5 and 24 as it stands right now?
Yes, yeah, so we've got 5, 24, and then there's I think 70, late 70s is the next one after that. So whether we look at future selections or look at some other options that sit around that, but yeah, it doesn't look like it'll be either of those first two selections. So we'll have some conversations with Richmond at the right time and work through what's a good fit for both parties.
Is Nathan Broad a chance, or is that less likely?
That's less likely now. I think, Dwayne, we've certainly had some conversations with Nathan. We are sort of we are looking at some, you know, our back six, back seven was a really young back seven. Jack Bowes was probably our most experienced player down there at different times, and he's played just over 50 games. So certainly looking to add some experience to that back six or seven if we can. And potentially Rory will certainly play a bit of, you know, wing halfback as well. But so we have had some conversations with Nate, but it looks like he's likely to stay at Richmond. So we'll move on from that one.
What's the latest on Adam Treloar?
Look, not a lot from our end, Dwayne. I think it's been an interesting one, hasn't it, with his partner's move to play for the Firebirds in Queensland. We haven't had any conversations with Adam, and Adam hasn't shown any interest in moving to Queensland and by virtue of that moving to the Suns. So at the moment, it seems like more of a situation for Collingwood to work through. So we're respectful of that. But, we probably can't see anything progressing in that space, purely from the fact that Adam's got no interest in moving to Queensland.
So as soon as you do get told, if you do get told that he might be interested, you jump pretty quickly into that conversation?
Oh, I think we're open-minded. Yeah, I mean, obviously he's a quality player. There's some considerations around the length of his contract and his financial terms and those sort of things. So we need to factor that into not only our own TPP planning and list planning, but also what does it mean for our own midfield and making sure that we complement our core group of midfielders that we really want to ensure get plenty of opportunities to play together. So, we're open-minded, but at the moment, look, it's highly unlikely because there just hasn't been any discussions taking place.
Peter Wright?
Yeah, Pete's an interesting one. So, obviously, he's a contracted player. He's got a couple of years to go from our point of view. There's been some interest in Pete, which is not surprising, given his size and he's a nice mover. He kicks the ball really well. So he just hasn't been able to force his way into the team this year. We've had great availability. We've had consistently 47, 48 players training and playing throughout the course of the season. So our availability was really strong. Ben King and Sam Day were playing really well together and really keen to maintain that consistency. So he couldn't force his way in. There's certainly been some initial interest in Pete, and as I said, he is contracted, so we'll just need to make sure that if there is a level of interest that deems a trade, that it's a trade suitable for both parties.
And is that more likely than not? Do you think that he'll go somewhere else?
It's early days, Dwayne. It's too early to judge at the moment. He is contracted, so it'd have to be something that's attractive from our end. And Pete's also, happy to stay as well. He just wants to play AFL footy. So we'll have to see how that one progresses. We've got 2 weeks to go, so it's very early days. So,
So why didn't he get a game this year? And if he stays, why would he get a game next year?
Well, he needs to be able to force his way into the team. As I said, Ben King's obviously made a really strong introduction to AFL football. He's 2 years in now. He's going into his third year next year. We're really keen to maintain and build our forward line around Ben. Sam Day complimented Benny really well. Josh Corbett came in towards the end of the back half of the season and played that third tall sort of role really well as well. So Pete just wasn't able to force his way into the team through weight of performance at NEAFL. He was consistent at NEAFL, but probably not knocking the door down. And with the guys performing well at AFL level, there wasn't a compelling enough reason to get him in the team.
Talking to John Haynes, Gold Coast General Manager of Football. I'm not hearing too many Gold Coast Suns players put their hand up to go home at the moment, John.
No, you're not, Dwayne, which is pleasing. We've done a lot of work on our environment, our program, and all the support that sits around our players. And, along with Brisbane, we're the most contracted club in the competition. So our players have certainly, spoken with their feet in terms of, one, their belief in the environment, but also, most importantly, their belief in each other. They genuinely feel there's an opportunity to build something really exciting here. And, they're really connected to the Gold Coast community as well. It's a great place to live. It's a great place to be an elite athlete. And we've seen that this year with having, 14, 15 AFL teams up here living and playing up here, that they've been able to see what a great place it is as well. So, we're really happy with that, and it's not something that we're complacent with, but we're really happy with the progress we've made in that space.
So do you think that'll help you recruit this year, or do you think it's going to help you recruit next year and the year after and the year after, the fact that so many players have had a taste of what it's like to live on the Gold Coast during the COVID hubs?
Yeah, a bit of both. I mean, there's no doubt it's helped this year as well in terms of changing perceptions initially. I think the fact that people were actually able to live here for a period of time and become part of the community and see the facilities and, what a great environment it is to be an athlete, as opposed to just coming in and out for a weekend or a small period of time, was really beneficial. And I think it took away a lot of the misconceptions around, the standards of our facilities and everything that sits around the Metricon precinct. Like, it's absolutely an elite facility. So for people we can tell people in Melbourne that as much as we like, but for them to actually come and see it for themselves and live it and breathe it, it's the best promotion we can get.
And you're the general manager of football. Do you think AFL football departments will be asked by the AFL for their feedback on things like 18-minute quarters and short turnarounds between games to allow another footy festival of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night kind of footy back-to-back-to-back next year?
Yeah, absolutely, Wayne. That would be the case. And we've already had informal conversations, with Hock in particular, around observations around all of those factors in terms of how the season played out. And, there's obviously COVID was forced upon us through, a situation out of everyone's control, but there are a whole heap of learnings and a whole heap of actual good things that came out of it as well. So I think it's, you know, how do you take those learnings and implement them into a more normalised AFL season is something that we're probably all keen to have our input into. And there's some really good things that I think that will last the test of time from a COVID perspective.
So I don't want to put words in your mouth. What did you like? Did you like 18-minute quarters? Did you like the footy festival? What did you like?
Well, we liked the fact it was in Queensland for a large chunk of the season, Dwayne. That was really helpful. But yeah, I think, well, certainly from our point of view, from a pure club point of view, we like the shortened quarters. And part of that's to do with the profile of our group. Yeah, we felt that suited us really well. We actually enjoyed the compressed part of the fixture at different times. We felt that the lesser focus on training and actually playing games, the players actually enjoyed the shorter turnarounds. Now, you can't do that for an extended period of time because that does become physically taxing and too much. But for short periods of time, to be able to have short turnarounds and playing back-to-back was enjoyable. Playing different nights of the week, again, it's a real shift from an AFL perspective and from a programming point of view to be able to do that. But there were elements of that we felt were not only good for the game and the promotion of the game, but also really good for our athletes as well to be able to adjust and adapt to a different situations rather than the more structured situations.
Can you see yourself doing road trips next year where the Gold Coast stay away for two or three game batches? You go to, you know, Perth, Adelaide, Melbourne, then go home?
Yeah, I think all those things are on the table now. You know, I think what we've learned through COVID again is that there are different ways of doing things. So I think those opportunities are definitely on the table. And we did that back in, was it 2018, when we were away from here because of the Commonwealth Games. We stayed in Perth and played Fremantle on the West Coast. Stayed in Perth for, I think it was 10 or 12 days at that particular time. I think the experience of flying in and flying out on the one day as well was something that that our group adjusted to pretty well and didn't find overly demanding from a preparation point of view. So there's opportunities that, in our case, if we're playing in Sydney, for example, where it's a short flight, you know, can you look at doing that in and out on the same day? But yeah, so I think those opportunities that we've learned this year are the things that we'd be open to exploring next year as well.
And teams coming, obviously, to Queensland to play both of you guys back-to-back and stay in the week.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. And again, you know, it's different for every club. Like, it's going to be a different set of considerations for a West Coast or a Fremantle. But for teams on the East Coast, I think there's opportunities to look at what that means. And I think the other, you know, sort of overlay that sits within all of this is the financial economy that we're going to be living in, which is going to be different than what it was in the past. So if there are some financial savings and considerations that can be made in those sort of situations, then I think we've got a responsibility to look at that as well.
And essentially two teams from the Gold Coast in this 22-team second-tier comp. You've got your own team in and you've got Southport in. Brisbane Lions have got their team in and Aspley's in. So it's a fairly big Queensland contingent.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's certainly from our point of view, we're really supportive and keen to play in it. I think one thing we noted this year, playing AFL teams week in, week out from a reserves perspective was just terrific for our players' development. So to be able to play in this type of comp where there's a more consistent level of competition and particularly at an AFL level is really pleasing for us. It's also pleasing that Aspley and Southport have decided to put themselves into the competition and work as hard as they can to elevate you know, their thinking and their program to that sort of level. So I think it's a good thing for Queensland football.
Great to have you, John. I really appreciate the extended chat. Thanks a lot for your time, and we'll talk soon.
Pleasure, Dwayne. See you, mate.
John Haynes, Gold Coast General Manager of Football. Thanks to Coldflow. Breeze Air Supercool promotion is on now. Duke in Birdsville. Promise we'll get to you straight after a quick break for news.